This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
All right, so I had my date night last night.
How'd it go?
My day was okay. We're going to go on another one someday.
Yeah. Someday? Yeah.
I gave him my number.
Decent enough company that you're willing to give him a second chance. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. So we went and we saw Project Hail Mary last night. Okay, I read the book. I adored the book. I mean, it goes on my list of one of my very favorite books of all time. I just think it was a kind of a sciencey, geeky book, but I loved it. Saw the movie last night. Loved the movie. I don't give like these, and I'm not going to give like this in-depth interview of all this stuff. First of all, my impressions of it, I cried a number of times through it. So there, you just know that. My date did not. So he says it was dark. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The cinematography was absolutely beautiful. To me, it was a big screen movie just because there were shots of some of the out in space and where they were out there that were absolutely breathtaking. They were stunning. It was just beautiful. Ryan Gosling was great. And I'm not really a Ryan Gosling fan. He's like, okay. You know, I've seen movies that he's been in and it's been okay. I loved him in this as the lead character. I thought they did a really great job. Of course, I'm a fan of practical effects. I hate CGI. It drives me nuts. It's boring. Yawn. The alien character in here was a puppet, and it was brilliant because you can notice the difference the way the characters, the way the human character interacts with them versus staring at a green screen with a ping pong ball. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference. It was wonderful. The way they took a lot of the more complicated elements from the book and they were successfully able to translate that to screen. And that's hard to do a lot. Some of it was truncated. Some of it was moved around. But I thought they did a really brilliant job with it. Overall, I highly recommend this movie. If you get a chance to see it in theaters, definitely see it in theaters. I'm going to watch it again when it streams. But I give it high, high ratings. It was just thoroughly enjoyable. It was a wonderful story. There was no profanity in it. No sex. There wasn't put a chick in it and make her gay. There was none of that. It was just a really good story. It was a kind of a friendship movie. It was about loyalty and friendship and character and compassion for other people and what would you do for other people. It was brilliant. It was beautiful. I adored it. There. Was that gushy enough? I think I gushed.
I think you did. And, you know, I would guess that your date probably, you know, while he didn't cry, he probably had some tears well up in the eyes, you know. Just a little eye irritation kind of a thing.
Oh, they're dust in the theater. There's dust in the theater.
Well, I like that they were able to adapt so many things. I mean, that's been the most challenging thing when you take a book to adapt it to the theater is there's those elements that they have to just kind of cut out simply because they're either too costly or too challenging to portray on the big screen. So I think it's very cool. They were able to take some of these more complicated things and translate them over to the big screen.
And I don't think reading the book before, because a lot of people, I like to read the book before so that the movie doesn't inform my mind's eye, so that I know I have what I have in my mind's eye, what the characters look like. And I thought they did a good job of bringing that too. And I like certain ways that they did, because a lot of it's told in flashback. And so they because they're also in space and the camera angles and the moves, I mean, I noticed all that and I loved it. And yeah, you're right. A lot of times, but it's always, I think 99.999, the book is always better. Mm-hmm. I would still say that in this case, but they did a damn fine job.
Well, that's good. I'm glad, and I'm glad you had a very successful movie night. And did you get your chocolate? That's the other big question.
Yes.
The cliffhanger.
It was frozen yogurt, so it's chocolate. It's not chocolate, but I did get my chocolate. Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Then, yes, very successful date night.
Yes. So I highly recommend you and the missus go do this. Take a break from all the kids. Go on a date night and go see this movie. It doesn't have to be. I know we talked to Mayor Hoy yesterday. I don't remember we were on air or off air when she mentioned that she had seen it and that it was a little sciencey, but it's not overkill where you're like, oh, God, this is like a math movie. It wasn't anything like that at all. So she enjoyed it. You guys will enjoy it too.
Okay, that's good. That's good because, yeah, you know, you always wonder with sci-fi how far out there they will go because there's some pretty wild imaginations out there.
Well, yeah. And then some people, it's like, we're going to tell such a convoluted story that you have to know to understand this. And even if you know, it's like, oh, really? Don't make me work that hard. just entertain me. This movie did that.
Yeah, yeah. You have, you know, those ones you have to have watched every episode of Star Trek and every episode of every spinoff of Star Trek to understand the concept. I'm going, that's a little overkill.
Speaking of Star Trek, I just saw, I follow, one of my favorite YouTubers is The Critical Drinker and also Nerdrotic. They're movie reviewers and TV reviewers, and the new Star Trek show that, thank God, has been canceled, because I am a Star Trek person. I'm a Star Wars too, but they ruined it. So, apparently, they are striking the set of this newest iteration because it's been canceled. It'll go one more year. Ew. And then Critical Drinker is like, and then they should salt the earth where the set is so that this abomination never happens again, because just the ruination of beloved franchises. So stop.
That is a full show in and of itself. If we want to break down, you know, how today's Hollywood and today's, you know, mainstream has demolished once great cinema and even TV shows.
And I kind of take it personally, especially with Star Wars, because I was like 14 when it came out. And I've, you know, my favorite authors were like Ray Bradbury, and I love stop motion animation and all that kind of sci-fi and fantasy stuff. And so I was like an uber OG fan, and they just destroyed the franchise. And I won't see another one. It started to me with when they added, what's her face, Rey.
Yeah,
and made her like this all-knowing girl boss. I'm like, oh God, here we go. And so I don't care. And then they ruined Luke Skywalker. Anyway, we're digressing. I'm on a rant. I said to the mustache, I wasn't going to rant today, but I'm kind of ranting. Anyway, my review. Go see it. Go see Project Hail Mary. You won't regret it. It's a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this, because you told me this before we went on air. This day in history, you have a family tie to the first one, which is wicked cool.
Yeah, in 1770, Captain James Cook discovered Botany Bay in Australia. And my grandmother, before she passed away, had done a lot of lineage and actually traced us all the way back to James Cook.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's a, you know, I don't know how many greats I would need to say, but yeah, we are linked all the way back and to James Cook, and then even early America.
So that means you need to have like a family trip with all your kids, and you need to go to Australia. You need to go to Bondi Beach, and you need to go to Sydney. You need to go all the places in Australia. You have a connection.
Well, we'll start with Hawaii, because I believe in the Hawaiian Islands is where he was killed during a conflict with some native Hawaiians out there.
Well, that'll be a cheaper trip, I think. Although, I don't know. I was just chatting with... Well, I have my sister, they want to celebrate an anniversary. They want to go to Scotland. And the trip between now and when the Iran stuff started, it's tripled in price.
Well, yeah, I've been seeing a lot of things about talking about the price of jet fuel and the way the airlines are making up for that is by charging more for bags. I'm kind of going, you know, I got a friend who he travels quite a bit for work stuff. And if he knows he is going to be in a place for more than he can shove in a carry-on, he actually ships it to the hotel rather than pays for baggage, because a lot of times it's cheaper than that, depending on what you're bringing.
See, I've got a trip to Cape Cod this summer, and we booked the travel already, and so that should take care of that. But yeah, I wonder if we're going to be hit with fees, and I'm only want to do a carry-on, and I got to go a week, so that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're staying in a hotel, you can always ship it. They'll hold it at the front desk, and you just go pick it up when you arrive, and that's what he does quite often.
Well, travel tips from a relative of James Cook.
There you go. See?
How cool is that?
A guy that traveled the world many, many moons ago.
It's good that you have travel tips. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and the Perlin Mill.
All right, KTU has a story a little closer to home. No traveling involved. You can find this right here at home. Oregonians.
Wait a second. I don't know. Traveling up there, I mean, it's, you know, it can get a little dicey. You know,
that's Portland?
Yeah, that's some travel. I mean.
Well, remember that Oregon is not just Portland, as everybody who's not from Portland tries to remind the world. Because every time you travel anywhere, where are you from? Oregon. I always get that look.
Yeah.
Oh.
The look on the face. I go back.
The poor you. Oh, sorry.
a few years back, we actually traveled to Arkansas and to visit some extended family. And we went to church on a Sunday, and they asked, you know, where are you from? We said, Oregon. And the look on their face, and they said, well, you know, it's a little more conservative down here in the South. And I'm like, oh, that's just Portland.
Yeah, I know. It's not the whole state. Well, now it's Salem and Eugene, too, though, unfortunately. KATU story. Oregonians tell Governor Kotek high costs and taxes are holding back business growth. File this under what? Yeah, cat and obvious. Do we need a survey to tell us this? Apparently the governor does.
Well, she needs Legos to tell us how we should operate anyway. So, yeah, I would assume she needs a survey to know what's going on with real Oregonians.
I bet the Legos are going to come out after the primary because, you know, Oregon voters need Legos. They need Legos. I guess the feedback comes from more than 1,000 responses. So, you know, not a huge sample. It was through the Governor's Prosperity Council survey. I didn't get asked, did you?
Nope, I missed out.
Yeah. The survey asked Oregonians several questions about what's working and what's not. Nearly half of all participants responded with takes on the state's business climate. Somebody with a Salem zip code said, quote, establishing guardrails around fee increases, improving transparency, and creating more predictable permitting and cost structures would remove a major barrier to growth. That's the thing here. We don't know day to day what's going to hit us. Legislative session to legislative session, city council meeting to city council meeting. What are you going to throw at us that we have to, you know, duck and move and weave to either try to avoid or figure out how we're going to pay it, who to fire to cover it?
Well, I'd even go one step farther than that. Unfortunately, in the last 40 years, they've created so many unchecked bureaucracies that are allowed to do things, you know, like increase, you know, fees in terms of permitting, depending on what you're doing and different things. I'm going, so yeah, it's a left and right all over the place. I mean, who knows where the next fee is going to hit you from, because we've put these bureaucracies into rotation that get to decide, oh, well, we need a little more money for this now.
Yeah, and how many more surveys do you need to know what's wrong in this state? You just ask a restaurant owner, just ask an automotive shop owner, like that shop up in Portland that said, "You didn't leave us. We didn't leave you. You left us. You abandoned us."
Well, when we are losing longtime staples of communities up in Portland, because that's not the first longtime business to close their doors and walk away. We're losing longtime, you know, head offices of places like Dutch Brothers and others. I'm going
Tektronix.
Yeah. You know, there's a problem. They see there's a problem when 30%+ of your office space in downtown is evacuated. I'm going, you can open your eyes and see the problem. I mean, they should all have gotten that on video when they were down there showing us that Portland wasn't a war zone.
Wait, which part of Portland did they go to? See, it's only like 9 blocks. Like, that makes it okay.
Yeah.
Only 9 blocks are a no-go. A majority of the residents, nearly 6 in 10, or respondents rather, were from outside the Portland metro area. Somebody here with a Bend zip code said, quote, we cannot find enough qualified workers. And when we do, they often lack the skills needed to step into the roles that we have open. It has become increasingly difficult to fill positions, which slows down our ability to grow and meet demand. I think I talked yesterday about back in the day when I was working for G.I. Joe's, and the Silicon Forest came up to this area, and Siltech Silicon came up, and they worked in conjunction with Chemeketa Community College to recruit people in, and they trained us, us Americans. They didn't bring in H1, HB1 visa people from out of the country. They trained us to do it. And I had a long career. I still am friends with a lot of these people who have lifelong careers because of that initial training back in 1984 when we weren't insane. But you don't see that happening enough anymore. We'll just import people because they keep claiming Americans won't do it.
Well, and that response from Ben doesn't surprise me one bit. Knowing what I know, having family in Central Oregon and knowing what I know about and a lot of friends out there, knowing how the economics of Central Oregon works, I am not the least bit surprised to see someone sit there and say, the people aren't here to do these jobs and they're not qualified to do them. And I'm kind of going, and that's got a whole new problem that's separate from what's going on in Portland and in Salem and everything else. It's what you get when you have a destination community that becomes a very high-end destination community very quickly.
And you'll see that in red states that are getting an influx, especially the red states that border the cows. Mm-hmm. I hate that, but I'll say it anyway. I keep doing it. I guess I shouldn't say I hate it anymore because I use it. But you've got Washington going over to Idaho. You got Oregonians going over to Idaho, Nevada, you know, Arizona. And a lot of these red states are complaining about, you know, the wages aren't trading. But and property values are going up because people coming over from higher income. You're going to earn more money in Oregon than you are in Idaho. Mm-hmm. Your house is worth more in Oregon versus what it is in Idaho. But the bottom line is all of this, regarding, you know, every little bit of it, the impact on the red states is because of crappy progressive communist socialist policies in the blue states.
Well,
so it all comes back to that source of bad policy choices.
It's why you get side-eyed when you go anywhere else in this country and you say, I'm from Oregon. They side-eye you because are you bringing that, I have all this extra money around, so I'm going to overpay for everything I can and drive the cost up while the wages are, you know, staying the same.
Well, and you see that in Eastern Oregon, you see that in Eastern Washington, and you get the look, and I know many people who move, the first thing they do is they take off their license plates. DMV is the first stop.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting my California license plate off my car right now, or it'll be like, it's a rental. It's not my car. Not that people are going to attack you, but you get that, ew, what kind of Oregonian or Californian are you? Are you a political refugee or an economic refugee? Because that matters.
I have a friend whose daughter actually went to Boise State from Oregon, and she said that driving around in her car with Oregon plates, she got some mean looks.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. It really is. One of the other things they talked about, too, was reliable broadband. This has been an issue of expanding broadband into rural areas. But I come back to the technology, and I'm looking at you, Elon Musk, because I use Starlink, and I'm in a rural area, and Starlink works great. I have to pay for it. But I don't know that we need to be running fiber optic cable everywhere if there's other alternatives. So I don't know if that should be, but they are talking about transportation infrastructure. This was somebody from Pendleton, making it harder to move goods and access markets. And so you are going to pay more for those things. If you're in a city, you have more access and it's cheaper. But that's the choice that you make if you decide to move more rural.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I've lived on outskirts of major cities where I couldn't get basic cable television because guess what? You're out here. If you don't want to pay the couple of thousand dollars to have them run a line out to your community, that's the choice you make. And there's so many alternatives now. You know, there was DirecTV or Dish Network at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Now, of course, there is Starlink and there's other options that make streaming. And it's, you know, why cable and landlines are going the way of the past.
Yeah, you don't really need them. Final comment here from somebody from Klamath Falls. Quote, what works in the metro area does not always work in the rest of the state, and that disconnect makes it harder for rural economies to grow and succeed. Plus just the fact that I think most of rural Washington, rural Oregon, rural, you know, California feel completely ignored or dismissed or just like, okay, here's a bone, here's a little something for you, silly little rural people. We're going to focus on, you know, Sacramento and Los Angeles and Portland and Seattle.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, that's the way we live. And I think that disconnect here is greater in blue states in particular, where they are so focused on the metropolitan areas, and because that's where the voters tend to be. I'm sure you see something similar in Boise compared to the rest of Idaho and Missoula, Montana compared to the rest of the state. I mean, it's a natural thing. But it seems like Democrat leadership, it's 100% focused on their voters and very little on anyone that would oppose them.
Exactly. We got a tweet here, too, from Representative Yunker HD with a graphic that's the Oregon Departure Trail. Heading east, going east. Mm-hmm. And it's got Dutch Brothers, Dutch Bros. Is it Dutch Brothers or Dutch Bros? Or does it matter?
I can go either way.
Okay. And then Tektronix and Geldwin. It says now leaving Oregon eastward bound. And that really is, I mean, that's more Oregon centric. Somebody in here said we watched as a young dedicated truck driver with baby three on the way get laid off from his position because Geldwin shut down. Mm-hmm. And this person says, you cannot hate Oregon Democrats enough. That's the comment on Twitter. A lot of people commenting on this. A lot of people saying, you know, the Silicon Forest is moving to Texas. There's been a steady wagon train leaving Oregon for years. People see this. It is a thing. And when you have your tax base and all the ones, you know, and that's why we talked the other day about the, well, now we want to you want to tax people if you have empty buildings, or there's going to be a tax if you try to leave.
Yep.
To just capture that. I mean, it's just thievery. It's just thievery.
I am seeing that conversation more and more. The idea of states instituting a exit tax, virtually.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave your state, they want their cut before you get to go out the door. I'm just sitting here going, how crazy is that to think that if I, you know, maybe, you and I become national and we got to move out and join Todd Starnes and, you know, out in Memphis, and I'm sitting here going, and you're going to charge me to leave?
Yeah.
That's as crooked as it gets.
It is. It is. A one commentary before we hit the bottom of the hour. No state can tax or regulate itself into prosperity. The more you tax prosperity, the less you're going to have of it. It's well past time. He's calling out the Oregon GOP to wake up and smell the coffee. The Democrats are using communism to completely destroy the state, and they're succeeding. I don't think he's alone in that assessment. And he's calling out the GOP. Yeah. You know, I don't know what there, because we got an election coming up. You could shift it. You could get a Republican in there, a governor who has, you know, veto power, limited power, but it's a start.
Well, and that to me is that's the thing. Whether it's we've seen so much liberal leadership in this state. They, you know, again, they have the supermajority, this and that. We need to break the supermajority, and a Republican governor isn't going to send us in a full-on different direction. They don't have that kind of power.
They don't.
But they can potentially slow down to stop the death spiral that we have been experiencing for the last couple of decades.
And if you can break the supermajority in the legislature, you can start it. But you've got it. It's a starting place, and it's not going to flip. It's taken decades to get here. It's going to take a long time to get out of it, at least a generation, I think.
Well, and you
got to start somewhere.
At this point, we need to get to the starting line, because we are playing so far behind that just getting to the starting line is a great first step for Oregon in this upcoming election.
That'd be a glorious day. All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. So just to kind of put a bow on this, Como News up in Seattle, Seattle outlet, is also talking about states that are like hemorrhaging businesses and people across the country. At least 10 states, including Washington State, are now exploring or have already passed an exit or wealth tax to combat revenue losses from residents fleeing to lower taxes. Oregon hasn't done that yet, but just wait.
Yeah, especially now that Oregon or Washington State has their millionaires tax.
Right.
It is a matter of time till they come up with one, a millionaires tax, and then two, a exit tax in the state of Oregon. They're going to do both. I will almost guarantee if the Democrats retain a supermajority and Tina Kotek wins re-election, that's coming at us
fast
and furious.
I love this comment from, I don't know, do you follow Nick Freitas?
I think so.
He says, blue states now adding, quote, Democratic People's Republic of as a prefix to all state names to show how pro-democracy they are.
Deep breath. Going back to earlier, I'm sitting there going, you know, Tina may just break out the Legos after the primaries to build a mailbox and maybe a little Lego man holding his piece of mail to show us how we vote.
A non-binary Lego figure. Come on, Hunter.
Well, they're all non-binary
Come
Lego
on.
Figures.
Aren't they all like bright yellow? So.
They're all yellow, and you can choose to put hair on their heads.
I like this one. No kings, but be sure to pay all the taxes we didn't let you vote on, or else. There's a chart in here. Red states are governed better. Well, that's true. But they're not immune, certainly. Net domestic migration from July 1 to July 1, 24 to 25. The top 10, number one, North Carolina. Texas, South Carolina, Texas, Tennessee, Arizona, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Idaho, Nevada. The bottom 10, let's start at number 42. Connecticut, Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Hawaii, no surprises. Colorado, sad, used to be a red state. Maryland, Louisiana was a little surprising. Massachusetts, we didn't call it Taxachusetts for nothing when I was growing up. New Jersey, no surprise. Illinois, New York, and California, no surprises there.
I wonder how much on the Louisiana one, because they are definitely, yeah. If you look at that list, they are a major outlier.
Yeah.
And I think it may really be more the layout of that state, the fact that you have huge sections of that state are actually below sea level, weather phenomenons over the last two decades have ravaged a whole lot of areas. I wonder if that's more a escape from conditions more so than an economic escape compared to the
rest. That's a good point. Yeah, with the levees and, of course, Hurricane Katrina and all of the fallout from that. Another one here, wealth migration, because that's another part of it. Again, you cannot tax and, you know, you can't tax your way into prosperity. People with the means will leave. Wealth migration by state. This was posted by Idaho Representative Heather Scott posted this. Interesting commentary on it, too. But you look at Oregon, negative 476 million flowing out of the state. California, 12 billion gone. Washington State, 265 million whoosh, flowing over to big block Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, interesting, Utah, Arizona, Nevada, Idaho. Texas is the big, you know who the biggest recipient of all of this is?
Florida.
Florida. Florida. And it's only because they have a good governor. If you get, you know, because,
Ron DeSantis.
DeSantis, mm-hmm. His first election, he squeaked in.
Yep.
His second one, he won by, I would say, a landslide. It was huge. But he's term limited out. So, I mean, I'm not following. Next time we have Jeff on, which should be next week, we'll have to, you know, get a skinny on the Florida governor's race. Because I know he's following that. But, yeah, you've got all this money flowing out. I mean, that's wealth from individuals, from families, from businesses. It's just leaving.
Well, it's these numbers, $476 million of virtual net value from residents and businesses leaving the state of Oregon. This is why you are going to see an exit tax in this state, because they're not going to let that money just go without getting their cut of it.
Yes. And so this, it is a trend. It is ramping up. And that's why, again, we talk about, you know, the elections and what's so discouraging a lot of times, especially in Oregon, is that battered Republican syndrome, where you've got a lot of people, you've got that narrative out there that their vote doesn't count because of vote by mail. You've got individuals running a petition, which if you want to sign it, fine. But there's a counter narrative saying that even Republicans, a lot of Republican voters like vote by mail. Don't hang your hat on that. You need to get out and vote regardless. And people have done the breakdown. We don't need to do that here of the safeguards in there. We had Ben Roche on last week. Who talked to Linn County and went down to the court. He went down there and talked to the clerk and kind of did a rundown on it. So is there shenanigans and some fraud? Of course. Mm-hmm. Is it rampant? I don't enough to make your vote meaningless? Absolutely not.
No, not enough to make your vote meaningless, but you know, and we can debate how much there is, because there's right. All sorts of things that are allowed in the state of Oregon when it comes to elections that aren't allowed in other places. I would love to see them tighten the leash a little bit and not allow people to just wander the streets and say, hey, hand me your ballot so I can turn
right.
it in.
Absolutely.
But I also sit here and I go, you know, shocking to both of us was that Oregon wasn't one of those kind of top 8, 9, 10 states in terms of people fleeing, and I think it's because of the size of the state in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
A lot of people right now, and we talked about it a week or so ago when we saw the map of the exodus by counties to mm-hmm. population growth.
Yep.
Multnomah County is bleeding residents
yes.
left and right. They are
absolutely
massively leaving that county. Mm-hmm. But so many rely on that area financially mm-hmm. that they're moving to the outskirts, because every surrounding county has had a population increase in the last
yep.
5 years.
Especially Clackamas and Washington County
mm-hmm.
and Marion County to some extent.
Yep.
You know, you come down and buy property and move into a house and buy something in Kaiser, North Salem. It's a quick hop onto the freeway and it, you drive up and you can be at work. So many people are working remotely. And a lot of times if you have an Oregon employer for taxes, it's easier to stay in the state. So you could move to Eastern Oregon and work remotely. You move out of state, it gets ookity.
Yeah,
and
it gets a little
complicated.
Dicey. Yeah.
So, and again, like you said, it is big and vast. And honestly, when you travel the state as much as we do and you're on the eastern side, it does not, it feels like a completely different state. Mm-hmm. Except that you have to deal with all the crappy policies coming out of Salem and Portland.
It feels like a different state.
But...
It feels like a different state until you stop at a gas station. Then you realize where you are.
Oh, yeah. I needed that cruel reminder that I'm still in Oregon or Washington. Oof.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. And it is the size. Because if you look, obviously you look under the East Coast. How many New Hampshires can you fit in Oregon? Probably eight?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, you go out to the East Coast, and if you don't like the policy of the state you're in, you can drive down the freeway 30 minutes and be in another state and enjoy their policies if they're any better.
I go through three states to visit my grandmother in my grandmother's in New York and New Jersey. And you look at, but even on there, Maine is getting some people. New Hampshire's kind of neutral. Vermont is gaining people. But a lot of the Eastern Seaboard is hemorrhaging as well. But yeah, the West Coast, it's just crazy. I don't see that. That's not going to abate anytime soon. Even sad, if you do make some changes in leadership, you got to get the legislature and the governorship. And then you've got to dig in. It's the judges. It's the bureau chiefs. It's the department heads. It is metastasized like the Horta into every aspect of government in Oregon.
I just sit here in the state of Oregon because right now, we talked about the other day, the money that Portland is coming up short. They've got budget coming up, and even the mayor is just like, I don't know how this is all going to work. We're so broke and so in debt, and, we're never going to, even out these books. And I just sit here and go, we need to start the change and then build on the change, because so much of these bureaucracies and these heads of different departments that don't answer to anybody but the Democrat elected governor need to be brought back in the House. We need our House, our legislature to take back control of every aspect and say, okay, this needs a central control, because when arm one's not talking to arm two, things get way out of whack, and we've now got an octopus or two vertith of arms out here in the state of Oregon deciding how we do things.
I'd say you've got a spiny starfish with more than just eight legs into things. It's pretty crazy. The other one too is, you talk about the state of affairs with education. Of course, you've got the governor, who is the superintendent of schools. They took that position out and put it under the governor. That's another one that, needs to have a concerted effort to change. And I think honestly, Oregon needs a lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm.
I just do.
Well,
it's not structured that way, but you can make it happen.
Yeah, if nothing else, would at least put the pressure on the governor to appeal to more people, because if you had a lieutenant governor, they then get the name recognition to actually compete in an election with the sitting governor.
Yeah, so there's lots of things that can change, but the number one, obviously, we're now how many days out? It's the 9th and
40 days.
A month and 10 days.
40 days.
Yeah. And of course, we're chatting with Mayor Hoy yesterday, the election for city council. And again, a lot of those things that they're affecting you, taxes, fees and things like that, quality of life issues are all decided at that city and the county level. Mm-hmm. And you got to get engaged. Too many people will go march out in the streets for no kings, but they're not paying attention to what's going on with their county commissions.
Well,
Well,
I just sit here and go, if you're out marching for no kings, I would suspect that you have every reason to vote. Because how many of them are out marching for no kings, might not fill out a ballot or might not,
Well, gosh, the majority of them are old enough to have been voting for a while. So they know how to do it.
You'd think so.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break. Let's take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care in Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, so I got a chocolate last night, I said, and it was really good. It was healthy. It was frozen yogurt. Frozen yogurt has got to be healthier than ice cream, right?
Well, yeah, that's why they invented it, isn't it? I kind of remember in the late 80s, early 90s, something like that, there was big controversy about calling frozen yogurt ice cream, because it really wasn't ice cream because of the ingredients in it and this and that. And there was a big kind of thing back and forth.
It's got to be healthy. I mean, I substitute Greek yogurt for sour cream and make all my things healthier. So I think it's healthier. And for me, though, if I had my druthers, I'm a gelato girl. I love gelato. But I just see this. Wall Street Apes put this out. Crumble cookies, which I love, is now selling a cookie with the amount of sugar you would get in not one, not five, but 11 Krispy Kreme donuts. This one cookie has 69 ingredients, one that crosses the blood-brain barrier. Ew. And it's like, how is this legal? So first of all, Krispy Kreme donuts, whatever. I like donuts. I'm a Dunkin' girl. I grew up with Dunkin'. I love the little munchkins, the little holes and all that stuff. And I like me a cake donut. Krispy Kreme to me, for all the calories you get in it, it's like eating sugary air, kind of. It's like in the middle of a cotton candy and a donut. So if I'm going to get all those calories, I kind of want like something substantial. But this cookie, one cookie, 11 Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm having a coronary just looking at that.
I'm sitting there going, that might be a trip to Salem Clinic Urgent Care at that point.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, I like a good donut, but at the same time, I'm the kind of person that, you know, they're so rich and so filling to me in that way that I'll eat like half a donut at the most.
Yeah.
So the imagine, you know, virtually the sugar amount of 11 of these things.
And honestly, Hunter, if I'm going to get sugar, if it's a choice between a crumble cookie and a glass of wine, I'm going with the wine. You got choices. It's all about choices.
Well, I'm hoping they have, diabetic warnings on these things because you're going to spike somebody if they don't know what they're eating.
Somebody put this tweet in the thread and I'm going to butcher these names. Ingredients: wheat flour, added iron, sugar, carrageenan, xanthan gum, guar gum, dipentose, butoroxyhexane, titanium dioxide, glass shards, phenylbutylbutyl, tetracycline, soy lecithin, peanut oil, E157, blah, 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 contains GMO programs. And then Americans, whoa, sugar. So, you know, you're looking at all the crap that's in the food.
Yeah.
And then we're going, oh my God, sugar. A little natural sugar is fine. But remember back in the day, I mean, like Little House on the Prairie, you'd get like some, you'd have a little bit of sugar. So when you had that sugar, it was a taste bud exploding treat. You didn't have it in everything. And then of course, sucrose and all that crap that they started putting in things. And it goes back to the 90s when all of a sudden they told you that fat is bad. That was a lie. So you had all those no fat, non-fat, and everybody got fat. Wow.
Weird. You know, yeah. Well, they did the same thing with caffeine and whatever
eggs.
People really enjoy in moderation.
Meat.
You know, it's got to be bad.
Well, I'm glad that Robert F. Kennedy, flipped the pyramid because the food pyramid was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sold that bill of goods by the cereal companies, mind you. So let's have a bowl of sugar first thing in the morning. That'll work out.
Well, and you wonder why kids get a little tired by midday.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, the cookie looks amazing. If you've seen it, it's iced and it looks like it's got, I don't know, rocks on it, I guess. Sugar. So again, I got to go. Cookie, glass of wine. I'm picking the wine.
Yeah, well, especially nowadays, granted, some of these up-and-comers, I don't know. You sent over video talking about the difference of Dutch brothers or Dutch bros.
Yeah, right. Yeah, bros.
That I sit
bros.
Here and go, you know, to a certain extent, that word bros, it kind of triggers me a little bit because
It's
used by people. You sent a video over. It's just another in the long line of these progressive young women,
leftist, yeah,
who literally believe that men are the devil. They have to pay 50% if they're even going to go on a date with these guys. You know, you want a soy boy that's going to kind of, you know, care about your feelings. This is a video of a young woman who went on a date with a bro's bro, as she put it, and he paid for everything.
What?
And she described her response as feral. And I'm
she
kind of going, that is such a progressive.
She felt the feminism falling off of her.
it's a little bit of a wild video, and you just kind of laugh at it because this mentality of shock that there is a guy out there that, and when she says bros, bro, I'm thinking, you know, like small shorts playing on the beach, in West Hollywood kind of a thing. But I'm kind of going, the guy took her out to
sounds like a nice
meal.
Restaurant. Yeah.
Then out to a couple of bars and pretty much said, here's my credit card, order whatever you want. And to her, that was shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. Complete. And honestly, she's not alone, because in this day and age, it is. Mm-hmm. Because back in the day when us old farts were dating, I mean, you had to woo us because we weren't just, you know, giving it up for nothing. And the guys had to, like, they had to work for it. And so you expected that. And it may not go beyond one date if you were a bore or you talked too much or, you know, you didn't know how to eat properly. You ate with your hand. I don't know. But I mean, there was a ritual to it. And then the guy was expected to pay. It was sort of a given. It wasn't even a question. In fact, if you offered to pay to go Dutch or whatever, okay, but that was not the norm. And no. She was like, she was just shocked that a guy would be a gentleman and maybe open the door for her and treat her to a nice date.
To realize that we have a generation of young women that are being brought up to believe that is such an abnormality. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you not talk to your grandparents?
No.
You know, do you not? Well, they were told they were
going
to
kill their grandparents. Well, they probably cut them off because they voted for Trump. Well, so no, they don't talk
and 5 years
ago,
they were told they were going to kill them if they saw them. So I guess, right. You know, it's starting to make sense now. But these videos always get me because of the shock from the young woman. And I'm going, you know, I'm not any kind of, you know, old school guy. I'm not new age. I'm not this. But it's like, I know that if I'm going to take a woman on a date, I want to impress her. I want her to have a good time. And I don't want her to have to think about things like buying her dinner or buying her drinks or this and that. I want it to be my treat, especially if I'm the one asking her on the date.
And and if you ask on the date, and I think I asked the guy out one time, and I still think he paid, mm-hmm. actually. And then I remember on a date, I had to drive. I didn't like that. I never dated him again. I thought the guy, you should have your own car. So it's amazing how much has changed. The expectations are different. But the fact that she said that the feminism just fell off of her and she went kind of feral. I'd love to see a follow-up video with if she continued to date the guy or if she went back to, what did she call them? Like, she's in LA. And so it was like the West Side versus the East Side guys. And, yeah.
Well,
and that's everywhere. The Portland guys versus the Salem guys.
And just thumbing through a handful of comments on there, like you said, there's a lot of angry leftist women that she would even post anything like this.
Yeah.
You weren't a real feminist if that's how you go. Or, you know, just wait till the second date when he's a total jerk to you. And now you're going to go right back to the way you were.
Well, the sad thing is a lot of these young women, unfortunately, were sold this bill of goods that you can have it all. You can go out and earn the bacon and you can fry it up in a pan and you can still be all the things you need to be, a mom and a wife and everything else. And some people can if you've got the means, but it was basically a big lie that was told to women. And so a lot of them, that's why you're seeing a shift in younger generations are going, I kind of don't want to be a girl boss. I want to be a mom and a wife.
Yeah.
And now with the economics of it are so stacked against you, I feel for them. I really do. It's hard.
Yeah, and that's the part of it. I'm sitting here going, the economics followed that mentality, and now it's virtually impossible to not have two incomes, you know, in a lot of scenarios. And I go, it takes away. I mean, for my life, my wife and I, the one goal was to find a way she can work to earn some income, but also have someone there constantly, because we're not taking that income and just handing it over to someone else to raise our children.
Exactly. And once you kind of run those numbers, we did the same thing. You run those numbers, you're like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. So anyway, interesting stuff. Well, that's it for us. That's it this week.
Crazy.
Go on a dinner date. Take your wife out on a date and go see a movie.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm away early. Look at God. My brain is fried. We have a minute left.
Oh, okay. Well, you should definitely. Okay. Don't get a crumble cookie, though, because
that might overdo my brain.
One.
I think I've been in this little bit of a fog all week long. It's just been one of those weeks where everything has been a little bit off. I actually had to run a quick errand the other day, and I drove 4 extra blocks to get to the place. I literally circled the destination to get there because my brain just wasn't functioning. I kept taking the wrong turns. And I don't know. I'm hoping to get some rest. At least a date night.
And a date night.
Maybe some red meat.
Some red meat.
Maybe I'll find a nice woman to pay for me.
I love it. Well, have fun. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. We got great shows planned for you next week. Have a great weekend.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.